Psalm 129, verses 1 through 8, handling long-term abundant harassment. Long-term abundant harassment has affected us in a lot of realms. We've had a long hypocritical harassment that we face by legacy media on the charge of systemic racism. David Cipher Jr.'s piece, The Washington Post, ends toxic narrative that cops are hunting black men in the Spectator World magazine on June 24 claimed, quote, "I'm a black man who supports police reform where it makes sense, but what the Washington Post did was offer a half-truth repackaged as moral clarity. But a half-truth is still a lie, and this one has done real damage. The narrative they help shape still dominates our culture. It lives on in our schools, in our politics, and in our popular media. We've long faced harassment from many scientists and government officials on the climate. June 18, Associated Press writer Seth Borenstein, a reliable believer in human-caused climate change, asserted that a key threshold for limiting global warming will be nearly unavoidable, with the point of no return expected to arrive in 2028. However, a half century ago, leading scientists warned that the world faced a period of global cooling. Climatological Cassandras are becoming increasingly apprehensive, for the weather aberrations they are studying may be a harbinger of another ice age, Time magazine reported 51 years ago this June. There's a long history dating back to the 1970s of so-called climate scientists and government bureaucrats making catastrophic predictions about the environment that never materialized, the Free Beacon recently noted. Climatological Cassandras long have been suspected of proffering data that are not just provably wrong, but deliberately misleading. They ignore the medieval warm period that came between 950 and 1250 AD, when temperature averages are believed to have been as high, if not higher, than now. The Little Ice Age, a time of unusually cold temperatures beginning after the medieval warm period and extending into the mid-19th century, also supports the belief that the Earth's climate is subject to dramatic shifts and that forces other than human activity are influencing climatological trends. We've long faced hypocritical political harassment from progressives. Ever since the emergence of Donald Trump as a political figure, Democrats have been claiming to be defenders of democracy. This assertion is always annoying to people who value democratic traditions. Take the June 24 Democratic primary election for mayor of New York, please. In an election of fewer than 17% of New York voters, socialist Zohran Mamdani won with just one-third of the Big Apple's Democrats. He's pro-Palestinian, pro-defund the police, supports rent freezes, favors expanding city services and raising taxes, noted National Review Online in June 24. He supports a $30 an hour minimum wage, city-run grocery stores, free bus service, so it seems inconceivable that a majority of mainstream Democrats, Jewish voters, Republicans, and independents would want someone like Mr. Mamdani as New York City's top elected official. We've long faced economic harassment due to progressives. Chris Powell's piece, What Nominated Mamdani, is trouble here, too. Observe that the cost of living is too high in Connecticut because the cycle began with government driving up the cost of living, especially the cost of housing, with inflation and taxes crushing the poor and the once middle class. This caused people to seek more free stuff and subsidies from government, thereby driving inflation and taxes up more. As the French economist Frédéric Bastiat discerned long ago, government is the great fiction by which everyone tries to live at the expense of everybody else. Of course, as Winston Churchill says, if you function in socialism, eventually you run out of everybody else's money. So the need section reads, how does God want us to handle facing long-term abundant harassment? We have a psalm on this, Psalm 129, verses 1 through 8. I'd like to read it. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, that made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back who hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it grows up, wherewith the mower fills not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 129, verses 1 and 2a, verse 3, describe how the people of Israel had faced long-term abundant harassment. And of course, the Jewish people even to this day face it. In verses 1 and 2a, the psalmist called on the people of Israel to claim that their foes had greatly harassed them for a long time, since the time when the nation was a youth in its origin, going back to the Exodus. Remember how the Amalekites chased the stragglers of the people of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt, and they destroyed and killed some of the people then. So even from the very beginning, as Israel was being formed as a nation, she was facing Gentile opposition. The psalmist in verse 3 likened Israel to a scourged man who with welts on his back like furrows in a plowed field, welts created by those who had oppressed them. Nevertheless, Israel's enemies had not prevailed against her, according to verse 2b, for the Lord was righteous, and he had figuratively cut the nation free from the unjust cords by which the wicked held her in bondage to their harassment. God had freed Israel from the impact of the harassment. We know from other scriptures that there is a very powerful angel by the name of Michael, whose sole job is the protection of the nation Israel in order to make sure that the Abrahamic covenant can be fulfilled, because the Abrahamic covenant indicates that God wants to bless the world through the nation Israel. You have to have an actual nation Israel on the earth for that to occur. So there's a big, powerful angel by the name of Michael who is always involved in that. Psalm 129, verses 5 to 8, then figuratively anticipated God's future just recompense on Israel's harassing enemies. In the Song of Moses, at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, Moses taught Israel that they were not to avenge themselves if wronged, that vengeance belonged to the Lord. The same truth is taught in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. In fact, as Christians, God doesn't want us to take vengeance for ourselves. God wants us to leave wrongs with him, and that he will handle them himself. Accordingly, the psalmist anticipated God's vengeance on those who had harassed the nation Israel in verses 5 through 8. The psalmist hoped that all who hated Israel might be turned back from their wicked deeds in shame. He hoped that Israel's harassers might be like grass that sprouts on the dirt, that collected on the rooftops, that has no depth so that it quickly withers. We don't have roofs like Israel had. In Israel's day, they had flat roofs, and there was dirt often on top of that. But we do have some people have gutters, and the gutters sometimes, I've even seen grass grow in gutters, but the grass doesn't grow very long because there's not that much soil that is there. So expanding on the simile, the psalmist hoped that a man might not fill his hands with such grass as if it were a valuable harvest for his animals, nor that there would be enough to fill his arms with it. In fact, the psalmist hoped that those who passed by and saw these harassers like grass on a rooftop might not say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you, or we bless you in the name of the Lord. The reason the psalmist is focusing on this agricultural viewpoint is because the nation's economy was essentially an agricultural economy. They were basically farmers. And if you're in a farming community, you know how very important it is, if you're growing hay, to have the hay grow, because that's your livelihood. In fact, I worked in a hay farm when I was a teenager in high school. We had 700 acres of alfalfa. I had to cut it. My brothers helped swath and bale it and everything. Our livelihood is based upon that. So you want the hay to grow. And so with the psalmist saying here that they hope that the blessing of the Lord would not be upon these people, that they would their harvest would be nothing more than grass that grew on a roof, they were actually hoping that the Lord would judge them very severely. So the lesson is, though Israel faced long-term great harassment, her harassers had not overcome her with their actions, for the righteous Lord had freed her from their harassment. Israel was thus to let God recompense her harassers. Now that brings us to an application that we have today. And of course, we run the application of an Old Testament passage like this where people were under the dispensation of law. We run it through the feed mill of the dispensation of the church so we can apply this properly. And in the church era, we know the Bible tells us, even in the Old Testament, if a person regards sin or iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear him. So the first order of business that we need to take care of in order to be blessed by the Lord if we face harassment is to make sure that we are in right relationship with the Lord. And the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned, all of us have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. So the solution to that fact is each one of us needs to make a commitment to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if we do that, then God puts us into right relationship with the Lord, we're forgiven our sins, and then we can qualify for the blessings that God has for us as Christians. So I've written down in application number one, may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's free gift of eternal life. It's John 3:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, if we've done that, and I always encourage people to make that commitment before they pass away, because the only opportunity that we have of making this commitment of faith in Christ is in this life. Nobody knows how long he has to live in this life, so it's extremely important that we make that decision as soon as possible. If you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to make that decision today. Now, based upon that decision, if you've made that decision for Christ, number two, and facing long-term great harassment, may we rely on the Lord for his deliverance and just recompense to the harassers. Now, there are various scriptures and scripture passages that instruct us on God's deliverance from the harassment that we noted in our introduction, guidelines to follow for relief while we wait on the Lord to administer just recompense on the harassers. There's a lot that we can do to avoid harassment, and there's a lot that we can do to handle the harassment that we have faced if we have faced it. And that's why I'm looking at these passages here. On the legacy media's harassing charge of systemic racism, godless Marxism is behind much of the charges of systemic racism. J. Edgar Hoover, who was the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, in his February 16, 1967 testimony before the House Appropriations Subcommittee claimed, quote, "Communists seek to advance the cause of communism by injecting themselves into racial situations and exploiting them, to intensify the frictions between blacks and whites, to prove that discrimination against minorities is an inherent defect of the capitalist system, to foster domestic disunity, etc., etc. Communist Party activity in the United States has contributed to disrupting race relations in this country." End of quote. That's J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI when I was in high school. Matthew 7:12 also directs us believers to treat every other human being as we would want to be treated. So we definitely should not be racist. My parents took me to Africa when I was 11 months of age. As missionaries, and I grew up in Nigeria, West Africa. There were missionaries there seeking to lead people to Jesus Christ. And many of them, of course, came to know the Lord. And it's wonderful we're going to be able to meet these brothers and sisters in Christ someday when we get to heaven. But we should definitely not be racist. Since the charge of systemic racism itself needs to be overcome, we need to apply 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, and live such good lives that those deeds that we have, the good deeds, might glorify God and discredit the false charges that we might face. Number two, on the harassment of many scientists and government officials on climate change, Genesis 8:22 promises that as long as the earth remains, God will make the earth livable for man. It's interesting. God says as long as the earth remains, you're going to have seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter, summer, day and night. They will not cease. So God right away challenged the whole idea of climate change. That verse also informs us that there will be cold and heat along with seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night. So variations in the climate like the medieval warm period and the ensuing Little Ice Age are to be expected as part of the variations of the climate predicted in that verse. Since the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age occurred before the Industrial Revolution of the late 19th and 20th centuries, so that the burning of fossil fuels could not have affected those climates, we must not feel guilty over climate variations, whether we use fossil fuels or not. It's just amazing, the false charges that occur. On the hypocritical political harassment by progressives who claim to be defending democracy against Donald Trump, the truth is that socialism enslaves people. As more socialist policies and their lack of morality are implemented, you see more suffering and oppression. That's incidentally happened wherever socialism has gone, in any country. Conversely, Christianity and capitalism are tied together because of what the Bible says about private contract and work ethic. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, if you don't work, you don't eat. In addition, the Bible supports capitalistic principles with its admonitions against stealing and coveting. And of course, socialism is based on wanting what someone else has earned, on cheating and on lying. Of course, think dialectical deception. Wealth is not evil. Money is not evil. The love of money is condemned as idolatry. That's true. But money itself is not wrong. Thus, we need to be settled on Scripture's truths on private contract and work ethic and apply them. On economic harassment due to progressives who promote socialism that feeds on stealing and coveting rather than a solid work ethic and private contract, William Bradford, leader of the Pilgrims, remember the Pilgrims who landed out there in Cape Cod, initially tried a system of common work and sharing of goods, but the Pilgrims were then on the verge of dying out. He shifted to a system of private ownership and individual responsibility, and productivity soared. In other words, what he did, he portioned out portions of the land for that family. This family gets this portion. That family gets this portion. If you want food, you have to grow it there, you or your family. And before you knew it, everybody in the family was out pulling weeds. The moms, the dads, the boys, the girls, and they had a bountiful harvest. And that's why they invited the Indians. The Indians brought the deer and the other meat, but they invited them and they had that great big feast. So God would want us to promote individual responsibility, private ownership, and a Christian moral and work ethic instead of the socialism that is being pushed on many people who just want the government to keep giving them free stuff. I can't imagine if Mandemi is elected as the mayor of New York City, what's going to happen. He tries to implement that and make buses free and everything else free. The city's going to go bankrupt probably within a year, if that long, because you have to have money to make something like that work. Well, may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and then may we rely on God's deliverance from and recompense to long-term abundant harassers. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the truth that it provides and how you want us to follow your word and to heed your word so that we might have blessing in the lives in which we live. And even if we face harassment, we know that there is a solution, and that solution is to rely upon God and to obey him. For blessing comes from the hand of God, and God is the one who recompenses people so that we can continue to serve the Lord and live for him. Father, I ask that as believers we would continue to heed the word of God, that we would rely upon the word of God and the direction of God, the provision of God, to function as we ought, no matter whether we face harassment or not in this life. And I would ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening this morning, it could be by the MP3 recording that is going out on the internet, or it could be someone who's in our service this morning, who as yet does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that before the day's out they would make that commitment. They might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.